All right, turn to the person next to you right now and say to them, you should do the zip line. You should do the zip line. You should do it. Now say to the person to your left and to your right, just say to them, I thank God for you. Go. Now turn around, point at the people behind you. Don't touch them. Just point at the people behind you and say to them, you should buy me a dollar sundae. You should buy me a dollar sundae. You should do that. That'd be a wonderful gesture on your part. That would be wonderful. A couple of announcements. Number one, on my table where the books are and the CDs is a sign-up sheet if you would like to get together with me. If you want to just hang out, you've got some questions, issues, if I can help you or encourage you, I'd be glad to do that. Let me tell you what I don't want you to do. Parents, I don't want you to walk back there on your own and sign your teenager up to meet with me. Okay, that will not be a successful meeting time. This needs to be something they desire. So if they desire to get together with me, absolutely sign them up. I would love to do that. I'd be happy to meet with you by yourself. I'd be happy to meet with you with a friend or all your friends. Bring both of them. And I'd be happy to get together and hang out with you. So go ahead and sign up on that sheet at the end. And then secondly, I want to let you know that this week, every morning, I have a privilege to talk to the teenagers. And I will be speaking to them about what I spoke to you the night before, all right? So for example, the message I am doing tonight, that's what I'm going to share with the students tomorrow morning. And why am I doing that? I'm doing that so we're all kind of on the same page as families, so that when you gather together and sit down and talk together, talk a little bit about the messages, encourage one another spiritually. So it's fine if teenagers want to come in the evening, but just understand they'll hear basically the same thing the next morning. We are talking about living for Jesus. And this morning we talked about seeing life through the eyes of a blind beggar and talked about some of the priorities of following Jesus. And now tonight, I want to talk to you about characteristics of a Christ follower. Characteristics that are a part of a Christ follower, and I want to suggest this needs to be a part of all of our lives. I'm going to share with you three things, and this is not pick one of them or pick two of them. I want to encourage you that all three of these need to apply to your life. And I am going to ask God the Holy Spirit to speak to you in the areas in which you need to grow in. Number one, the first thing is, if you're going to be a Christ follower, your heart needs to care. Your heart needs to care. I'm concerned this morning. I'm concerned this evening too. I'm concerned tonight that this is some of our hearts right now. Our hearts have become so hard. Do you know how you can tell if your heart is hardening? There's something you say, and you may not use these exact words. You may not say this out loud, but basically you're saying this. I don't care. So what if we're not getting along? I don't care. So what if I'm struggling? I don't care. So what if I'm making bad choices? I don't care. So what if I'm hurting you? I don't care. 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 And every time you say that, your heart gets a little harder and a little harder and a little harder. And then you know what that leads to? That leads to a bad attitude. So pretty soon for you, everything is stupid. Well, this is stupid. Oh, Tabernacle is stupid. Oh, the music was stupid. Oh, the video was stupid. Oh, the speaker, he's okay. But everything else, Everything else is stupid. If that's you, and do you know how you can tell if it's you? If you look at a family member, they're sitting there going. So if that's you, here's something I'd like you to try. Either tonight or tomorrow, jump in your car and drive down to the local supermarket. I'm not sure what kind of supermarkets you have around here, but go to the supermarket. I want you to walk in and go to the dairy section, and I want you to buy for yourself a piece of Limburger cheese. How many of you have never smelled Limburger cheese? Put up your hands if you've never smelled it. Wow, you are in for a treat. Limburger cheese is kind of a combination of the essence of skunk and vomit. So I want you to take the Limburger cheese outside because we don't want to offend anybody. Unwrap it. Throw the wrapper in the garbage. You will notice the cheese has a crust on it and it's gooey on the inside. So just stick your finger through the crust and pull out a big glob of Limburger cheese. And take the big glob of Limburger cheese and just do this. Just smear it under your nose, back and forth, back and forth. You men with mustaches, even better. Then I want you to pick up a rose and I want you to smell it. And the rose is going to stink. Then I want you to get your favorite perfume, your favorite cologne, and I want you to smell it. Wow, that's going to stink. Then get your favorite food and smell it. Man, that's going to stink too. You know why? Because you've got Limburger cheese under your nose. Can I suggest to you that when you have Limburger cheese under your nose, everything stinks. And when you have a hard heart, pretty soon everything stinks to you. And that just leads to bad choices. I was speaking at a youth conference. And I had a kid come up to me after I was done speaking, and he said to me, I used to be a pain with my parents. I said, oh. I said, you used to be? He goes, yeah, I'm not anymore. And I go, well, wow, that's really good. I go, how come? He said, because God taught me not to. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I said, wow, that's great. How did God teach you not to? He said, well, when I would get upset, I used to like to slam doors. I'm angry. I want everybody else in the house to know I'm angry. So I just walk around the house. I just slam these doors. He said, but when I got into my room and I grabbed my door to slam it, I had this thick plush carpeting and my door would never slam. It would just go, whoa, whoa, click. And it used to drive me insane. This door would never slam. So one evening, I went down to my parents and I said, hey, can I do this? They said, no. Get up to my room. Click. He said, that was it. He said, Greg, I was so angry. I came over, I grabbed the doorknob, I opened that door, I hung on to the doorknob, and I slammed the door as hard as I could. He said, Greg, unfortunately, I had taken my other hand and placed it up here on the side so that I could brace myself and slam that door especially hard. And he said, I took that door and I slammed it right across these three fingers. And he said, when I slammed that door across those three fingers, God spoke to me. And God said, your attitude stinks. I want to know this morning. I want to know this evening. I want to know, what is the condition of your heart right now? Because I'm concerned there are a lot of hard hearts. There are a lot of people that are dealing with anger. Anger is a result of a hard heart. Lashing out at others, being out of control behind the wheel of a car, just snapping at individuals. That comes from a hard heart. And you know what you need maybe tonight? You need a heart transplant. Let me take you to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. And here's God's promise to you. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God is ready, willing, and prepared to perform that heart transplant. And I believe that's huge. I believe that's huge if you're going to be sensitive to God's voice in your life. If you are going to be a Christ follower, it's huge that your heart begins to care. It's huge for the well-being of your family that your heart cares. It's huge because we just sang about magnifying the Lord. Very difficult to magnify God with a hard heart. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pause right now, and I'm going to ask you to bow in prayer. I'm not going to lead you. I want you to pray silently, and if you're willing, would you just pray right now and say, Lord Jesus, would you take from me my heart of stone, and would you give me a heart of flesh? And just that fast, He will do it. And I believe that this week and your teachability and your understanding of spiritual things will radically take an upturn as the Lord takes control of your heart and your life. Let's bow together in prayer. You just pray that silently right where you're seated. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you hear our prayers. And Lord, I agree with these prayers. And I pray now you would give them a heart of flesh. And I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for taking that step. And that's important so that you care again. So you care about Jesus. So you care about your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, your character, who you are in Christ, so that you care again. And now listen, because I believe now that you have a heart that cares, God is going to speak to you in some special ways. Number one, their heart cares. Number two, you're drinking from the living water. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, then you need to drink from the living water. Look, I'm here to say all of us are thirsty. All of us tonight are thirsty. And I'm not talking about a physical thirst. I'm talking about emotional, spiritual thirst. All of us thirst to be loved. All of us thirst to belong. All of us thirst to be recognized. All of us thirst to achieve. All of us thirst. And it's not wrong to thirst. I mean, that's fine, that's good. But how you quench that thirst can be good or can be bad. And I'm concerned this evening some of us have been drinking from the wrong well. If you look at the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13, it says this, and this is a verse for 2020. My people have committed two sins, okay? What are they? They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. What is that saying? That is saying, number one, we have turned from Jesus Christ. We have said to Jesus Christ, we believe we know what's better for our life than you do. We believe we can meet our needs better than you can meet our needs. We have turned from Jesus Christ. And the second sin is we're digging our own wells. We're over here digging these wells trying to satisfy our own needs. And we're over here saying, if only. If only I had more money, then I'd be happy. If only I had a nicer car, then I'd be happy. If only I had somebody who really loved me, then I'd be happy. If only I was more successful, then I'd be happy. If only I had more friends on social media, then I'd be happy. If only, if only, if only. And we're digging these wells. And what does Jesus say about these wells? They're broken. They're broken wells. Meaning, they will never truly satisfy you. They will never quench that thirst. You need to come back to the living water. Do you know how you can tell if you're over here? One way you can tell you're digging your own wells is how much you worry. It's how much you stress. Because you don't really think Jesus can take care of you. Because you really don't think Jesus can look after you. Somehow you believe that Jesus saved you, but somehow you don't think he can sustain you. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ will do a great job of taking care of you. You put your life in his hands and come back to the living water. You don't have to be over here worrying. You don't have to be over here stressing. You don't have to be over here trying to dig your own wells. You can just drink from him. I'm here to say to you, everything you have ever wanted, everything you've ever desired is in the person of Jesus Christ. You thirst to be loved. Nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. You thirst to belong. You're part of the family of God. You are his child. You look to achieve. He's given you the gifts, talents, and abilities. And you want to be recognized for those achievements. Jesus will recognize you. Jesus will bless you. What you do in secret and you don't think anybody else sees, Jesus sees. And he'll reward you, and he'll take care of you. And can I just ask you to stop worrying, to stop struggling, to come back to Jesus, to say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. Jesus, you just take me. Jesus, I will drink from you. You meet my needs. Jesus, I trust you. And then affirm each other as a family. I'm concerned if I would be in your house this past week, let me tell you what I'd hear. Everybody kind of sniping at everybody else. Everybody kind of picking at everybody else. Everybody getting angry with everybody else. No, stop it. No, you're called to love one another. How can you love God whom you can't see if you can't love your husband, wife, children, parents, who you are with all the time? Turn to the person next to you. Hopefully this is a family member. If not, it'll be a little awkward. Turn to the person next to you. Look at them. Look at them in the eye and say out loud, I do love you. Say that. I do love you. Say it to the person on your left. Say it to the person on your right. I do love you. That's a good thing to say. It's a good thing to remind each other about. I do love you. I am committed to you. You are my family. So drink from the living water and put your hands in the life of Jesus. Put your worries, your stress, your needs, just give them to Him, and He will take such good care of you. And I see God transforming lives everywhere I go. I see God ministering like nobody else could ever, ever minister. And it has nothing to do with me. And it has everything to do with the power of God. I was speaking in South America. And I was speaking at a Christian school. And the teacher came up to me and she said to me, would you meet with my son? I said, sure, if he's willing to meet with me, I'd be happy to meet with him. She says to me, he was kicked out of school. I go, oh. I go, I'm sorry to hear that. But sure, if he's willing, I'd be happy to meet with him. She goes, okay, one more thing I need to tell you. And I said, okay. She goes, I think he's demon-possessed. Now, that's pretty crazy for a mother to say. My son is demon-possessed. So I say, sure, no problem. I'll meet with him if he's willing. She goes home, talks to him. He says he's willing. So I say, here's what I want you to do. Husband had to work during the day. So after school, we'll go over there. I want you to bring a trusted friend with you, a girlfriend. I want the two of you to go into the bedroom, and I want you to pray the whole time I'm there, and I'll just sit down with him in the living room, and we'll talk. So she's like, okay. So school's done. We come over, and walking up to the door, and the door opens, and here this kid is, senior in high school. And he's all dressed in black, which is not that big of a deal, because black's my favorite color, so I thought he kind of looked good. So I introduced myself to him. He's very nice. He has a good personality. He and I go in. We sit down in the living room. Mother and her girlfriend go to the back bedroom, and they start to pray. Little small talk. And then I say to him, so do you believe in God? He says to me, yeah. I go, do you have a relationship with God? He goes, no. I go, would you like a relationship with God? He goes, no. He was really firm about that. No. I say, okay. I go, do you ever experience the dark side? He's like, yeah. Said, ever hear voices and stuff? He goes, yeah. I go, what do you experience most? He said, I can be anywhere. He said, I could be at a shopping mall. He said, I could be outside at a park. I could be sitting in my room, and I'll look up, and there's this little boy standing in front of me. And I'm not going to tell you what the little boy looked like, but as parents, If you would like to know what the little boy looked like, you come up to me and I will tell you as parents, and you can pass this on to your children if you will like. But I'm not going to share it from the front just because it freaks some people out. And I say, does the little boy say anything to you? He says, yes. I go, what does the little boy say? He goes, he says, they're coming. I go, they're coming. He goes, yes. I go, okay, so you see this, right? He goes, yes. I say, so you know there's an enemy? He goes, yes. So you know there's a God, right? He goes, well, yes. I go, well, would you like a relationship with that God? He goes, no. I said, okay. I go, do you have any questions about Jesus Christ? Any questions about Christianity? Things you just haven't gotten? He goes, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, there is. So he starts asking me these questions, and the Holy Spirit is just giving me answers. Boom, 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 boom. So I finish answering all these questions, and I go, any more questions? He goes, no, no. He goes, that was really good, and wow, that I really kind of understand now, and that's cool. And then I go, great. I go, then, would you like to commit your life to Christ? He goes, no. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm praying silently, and I'm like, Lord, what is going on? Where do I go from here? And all of a sudden, the Lord gives me this thought. And I look at him, and I say, is there a voice talking to you right now? Boom! And his head comes up, and his eyes are really big, and he goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, yeah, it's always talking to me. It's always talking to me. It drives me crazy. And he puts his head back down. I go, okay. And I pray out loud, and I say, I want to come against the voice now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command you to silence, and I forbid you from touching this boy, and you must go now in Jesus' name. And when I say that, he lifts his head up, and he takes this deep breath like this 100-pound weight has been lifted off his shoulder. And he looks at me, and I look at him, and I say, would you like to surrender your life to Jesus Christ right now? And he says, yes. And the two of us pray together, and everything he wanted, everything he desired, everything he hoped for, everything he needed, he met in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm concerned today that sometimes we get in this rut and Jesus just kind of becomes same old, day in and day out. And I want to remind you that we're in the midst of a battle. We don't live on a playground, we live on a spiritual battlefield. And we have an enemy, and that enemy is very real. And there is Satan, and there are demons. And there is nothing to fear, because greater is Jesus Christ that's in you than Satan that's in the world. But we need to wake up to that reality. We need to get back to Jesus. We need to drink deeply from him, and then have the living God fill us, control us, and work through us to make a difference in our world. Number one, you've got a heart that cares. Number two, you are drinking from the living water. And number three, you feed the good dog. You feed the good dog. How many of you have a pet? How many of you have a dog or a cat? How many of you have cats? How many of you have dogs? You have dogs, you have made the correct decision. Thank you, thank you. No, I love cats. Cats are very independent. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all time. Charles Spurgeon said there was like a battle that went on inside of his life. And he described it like two big dogs. One represented his old nature, one represented his new nature, and they were constantly fighting. And somebody asked Spurgeon this question: which dog wins? And Spurgeon said, whichever dog I feed the most. If I feed my old nature wins. If I feed my new nature wins out. Can I ask you, in the past couple of weeks, what dog have you been feeding? Because whichever dog you're feeding, that's the dog that's winning out. And once our hearts care, and once we have drank from the living water, then we are about feeding our souls those things that are going to draw us closer to Christ and build our new nature. I want to remind you, in 2020, this is the very Word of God. This is God's word to you. It is practical for the year 2020 and beyond. And I want to tell you, honest and truly, demons hate this book. They hate it. If I walk into a room where there's somebody struggling demonically and I pull this book out and I start to read from it, it hurts them. It hurts them to hear this, because this is God's very word. Do you know what that says to me? If demons hate this book, we ought to love this book. We ought to love this book. We ought to spend time in this book. We need to be feeding our new nature so our new nature wins out. We need to be spending time in God's Word. And I understand the Bible can be a little confusing. And I understand it can be somewhat of a struggle. So allow other people to help you. So get some devotional guides. I'm going to do a little self-promotion right here. I have written a book called Built to Last that's a devotional book on the book of James. And I take you through the book of James basically one verse at a time. One verse at a time. I explain it. I apply it. I give you some things to talk about. I give you something to pray about. I even give you something to journal about. All in each devotional. That's something you could use individually to get into the Word, or it's something you could use as part of family devotion. But you need to begin to feed your new nature. And I'm going to ask you to throw aside whatever it is that has been holding you back. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Sin is easy to get involved in. Sin is not so easy to walk away from. Let me tell you a terrible sin, an awful sin, a sin I hate, and yet it's a sin that so many of us struggle with, and that's the whole area of pornography. Pornography is so easy to get to. All you need is a phone. You got an iPhone, all you need is a phone. You got an iPad, all you need is an iPad. A computer, all you need is a computer. It's just a click away. It's just a click away. You understand that we have more slaves today than ever in the history of the world. And you understand that most of those slaves are sex slaves. You understand there are children, 5, 6, 7 years old, being used sexually. You understand, you who are in here who are teenagers, some of your peers are being used sexually. They're being forced to pose, to perform. They're being raped and tortured, abused, drugged, and in some cases, murdered. And the purpose? To feed our lust. How wrong is that? How wrong is that? And can I just say to us, there are a lot of great reasons to avoid pornography, but let me just give you one. When you look at pornography, in reality, you cannot tell who's choosing to do this and who's being forced to do it. So I want to say to you, I'm not accusing you, I want this to be a wake-up call. I just want you to know that when you look at pornography, you support the sex slave business. You support the sex slave business. And that's never why you were created. You were never created to be a predator. You were never created to use and abuse. You were created to be a hero in the faith. You were created to save those children. Do you know Jesus Christ is raising up a whole army of Christian students who he has called to save those who are being trafficked? And do you know what? You who are sitting in here, who are a young person, God may raise you up to do that very same thing. My daughter heads up a ministry in Pasadena, After Hours, which is all about saving girls who are being trafficked, ministering to the prostitutes, caring for those who are used and abused. My brothers and sisters, I want you to feed on what is good and what is right and what's pure and what's holy. I want you to feed the good dog. So that's what begins to come out of your life. You understand whatever you put into your life, that's what comes out of your life. So fill it with things that honor and please the Lord. What are characteristics of a Christ follower? They have a heart that cares. They're drinking from the living water, and they're feeding the good dog. And I believe you get those three areas right, I believe that'll go a long way to continuing to develop you as godly men and godly women. I am available after this session is done. If you'd like to talk with me at all, you want to come down here, ask me something, I would be happy to talk with you. If you want to get the books, you make your own change, and if you'd like me to sign it, I'd be happy to sign it for you as well. Let's close now in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can talk about practical stuff. Thank you that we can talk about things that we can begin to apply to our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to my brothers and sisters about areas in which they need to make correction. affirm them for the good choices they're making, and give them a thirst to drink from you and a hunger to feed that good dog. And I pray that this week would be transformational for them as they follow you. For I pray and I ask these things in Jesus' name.